is Chad and Lisa, our children and youth ministers, my wife Melanie, and Mike, our music minister. And let me first say, if your live stream, you have any troubles with that, if you will log on to our website this afternoon, we will have a video recording of this entire service. And so be assured that if things go down, we will have it recorded and available on the website. Well, again, we want to welcome you. Let me give you just a couple of tips for today as you're worshiping in your home. You know, it's always get concerned that people feel like they can, that church, you can do church just from television. Obviously, we want to fellowship and interact with one another and be the church. And we never want this kind of thing to replace it. But in these unique times, we're looking at just doing it in a unique way. And so here's what we're asking for you to do. Prepare. First, prepare your home. And that is get your house quiet, get the kids around, and use this really as your time of worship with the church body. And then prepare your heart. A prepared heart is a humble heart. It's a heart that's ready to receive, receiving a word from God's word today. When we open up God's word, we want your heart to be receptive. And then prepare your hand. And how you prepare your hand is you get God's word, the Bible, and put it in your hand. And we're going to be in 1 Peter today. And you can begin turning with us there. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. But let me first start by talking to the kids that are gathered with their parents at home. Kids, every week that we do this, we're going to have a kids challenge, and this is going to be kind of fun. And today, the topic or the message, the sermon series that we're going to be going through the next couple of weeks is called Anchored. And just be thinking about a boat anchor. And we're asking all the kids to, you can either go grab some Play-Doh right now, or you can grab some paper and some crayons. You can grab a paper and some markers. Here's what I want you to do. As we're talking about what it means, because we're talking about our anchor is in Christ. We anchor our lives to Christ through faith. And so I want you to just think about that and what it means to be anchored to Christ. You can make maybe draw a boat or an anchor or something like that. And then you can post it on Facebook Live. If you don't have Facebook, your parents can send that picture, take a picture with the phone, and they can send that picture to Miss Lisa at lisa@bearcreek.cc. lisa@bearcreek.cc. And so, kids, you can go and do that now. Get your writing and your coloring and your Play-Doh and all that kind of stuff. Chad, did you bring your Play-Doh today?
Sure, yeah. It's
in the car. All right.
Just keep it there. Just in case you need it.
All right. Well, We're gathered here with just a very few amount of people. Some of our tech guys, Anthony's running the computer. Anthony, you want to wave your hand in front of the screen there? There's Anthony. That's his hand, at least. You won't see his face. But just that we're gathered with a few doing this. I hope it is a time of encouragement for you. We're going to have this forum and make this sort of like a Bible study. You know, When I grew up in Florida, a lot of you know that already. And in Florida, we had a lot of hurricanes out there. They didn't always have a direct impact on the state, but even if it was offshore, we would get a lot of wind and waves. And I always thought it was kind of unique because what boaters would do is instead of leaving their boats docked at the harbor, they would take their boats out offshore and they would anchor their boats offshore. And so they would put four anchors in to hold their boat stable and ride the waves and see if their boats would survive. But one thing was for sure, all the boats back at the dock were completely devastated usually. And the boats that were anchored out, they were anchored in a safe place And very often they would survive these hurricanes if they didn't get a direct hit. But when I think about that, and I think about what an anchor does, I think about what how Peter is trying to encourage these discouraged believers during this time. Peter is writing to these guys, and they are scattered. They are just wondering really what to do. And I know that their faith is being tested and tried. And as you guys probably know, Peter, he learned a lot of lessons about faith, didn't he? He learned the hard way. I remember in Luke chapter 22, I'll read this for you. Jesus tells Peter, he says, "Peter, Satan demands to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Well, then Peter goes on to say, "Lord, they can send me to jail, they can kill me, I'll stand by your side." And then what did he do? He ends up denying Jesus three times. It's interesting what Jesus said there, though. He says, Satan intends to have you, he wants to own you, and I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And then it says, when you turn, Peter, strengthen your brothers. That's exactly what Peter's doing in this passage today in 1 Peter, is he's turning back from these lessons of faith that he has learned through the trials of his own life, and now he's encouraging his brothers who are going through a lot. And so I've got a question for our team up here, our staff. Here's the question, guys. Has there ever been a time in your own life, in your faith, where your faith had failed under pressure? And then what did you learn through that situation?
I'll respond. I would say now, you know, I mean, it's with everything that's going on, it's I find it a daily struggle to not give in to fear and worry and anxiety, because these are all things that, you know, tend to creep up for me consistently. And I've been going to this verse, and it says, "Do not worry," Matthew 6, "do not be worried about tomorrow, for each day has enough worries of its own." Mm-hmm. In thinking about that, I started to read it in context. And just before that, in Matthew 6, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all these things, meaning what we will eat and what we will wear and all of these things, will be added to you. And so for me, this has been the second part of that question there is getting through that situation. What did I learn? I'm learning in the midst of this to just relying on God's word and just renewing my mind. Sometimes I sit and look at my social media feed or the news, and it just creates this panic almost. And so I have to intentionally renew my mind with God's word in order to not fall into that. And so, so right now, I mean, I fail, but I get back up. It's like a daily struggle. You know, I start to think like, well, what if this goes on for a month or 2 months? And then, you know, and so it's easy for our minds to drift into the what ifs, yeah, instead of being thankful for what we have today. I have toilet paper today.
So. You're good. Anybody else?
Yeah, I would have to agree with everything you said. You know, when I look at my life and when I look and see the things and how my faith maybe didn't play out correctly, it was usually because my faith was misplaced. My faith wasn't actually in God, it was in myself. And I was trying to control things. I was trying to, you know, to make it go this way or that way, or putting timetables and say, at this point, this is when it's going to happen, or at this point, when it's going to happen. And so really, my faith broke because I had a lack of faith. The faith was in the wrong place. It was placed in myself. And so, yeah, during this time, I think us as individuals and us as a church need to make sure our faith is placed solely upon God to get us through this situation as we're able to still pray to Him. We're still able to meet and gather. It's a little different now, but we can still have our faith in Him and know that through all of this, that He is still victorious and He is still God. He is still powerful. And that our faith can actually be strengthened through this time that we're in. So when I really look at it, I think most of those times where my faith failed, it was really my faith was misplaced.
Yeah. We can all relate to that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think for me, a lot of times with where I've failed in that is putting time constraints on the Lord. Think about a time in my life where, I knew this sort of deadline was coming. I knew, okay, this Lord, you need to do something by this date because we have to make a decision on this date. And just saying, okay, I know that the Lord is going to answer by this day. And then that day would come and there was no clear answer. And so then we move on and the stress of that. And so one of the things that really, that I learned from that is I thought a lot about Moses when he led the Israelites out of Egypt, and they're being chased by the Egyptian army, and I just think of how long was the Red Sea in sight of Moses and the Egyptian army in sight behind him, where Moses is saying, okay, Lord, you see that sea that's coming up here, and I'm sure he was anticipating that God would move long before he actually did. They're literally, toes in the water before God parted the sea. And so I think just for me, and we're thinking about what's going on in our lives right now, we all want this thing to be over next week or in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks. And I think that my focus needs to be more on, like Chad was saying, okay, Lord, how can you increase my faith? How can you strengthen me through this? Teach me, teach us what you want us to learn through this, move us in the direction you want us to go through this, rather than saying, okay, is it going to be today? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be the next day? And then just learning to trust on a day-to-day basis. So,
and it's not easy when you're in the middle of it all, all right, well, Chad, why don't you read? We're going to look at 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. And Chad's going to read.
Okay. All right. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through its tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice that joy that is inexpressible and filled with joy, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls."
Amen. So as Peter writes this, what I would like for the people at home to be thinking about is, and for all of us to be thinking about, that Peter is writing to you during this time, because these people felt displaced. They were out of sorts. The rhythm of life had been thrown in disarray, much like we see today. They were struggling, and Peter, what he's doing is he is getting them back to the core of their faith. He's trying to anchor them. He's trying to anchor them. And so so the first thing we see in this passage, if you'll look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1, verse 3, he says, he talks about it says, "Blessed be the God of the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again." And so we see in this passage, those who are born again, they are protected by God. And you're going to see more of this. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, he's telling these believers, give all credit and give all glory to God. For what? For causing us to be born again, right? And you were lost in darkness. You were full of sin. And his grace, his mercy reached down. And now you have received him. You have been born again. You have new life. And when we're born again, we're born into two things that we see here in this passage. We're born into a living hope, all right? Now, a living hope is different than a dead hope, right? Actually, dead hope would probably be like an oxymoron. But when I think about a living hope, I think a hope that is alive and it is here and now. So the two things are a living hope that we're born into, and then we're also born into an inheritance. Look what he says. Look what he says here in verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So where is our inheritance? Verse 4, it's in heaven, right? And so we have a living hope here and now. We can live with hope. That is an encouraging word for you today. And we have this inheritance that is in heaven. So every believer is protected by God. And I want you to think about this. Think of all the kingdoms in the Bible that sort of went away. We have the Assyrian kingdom, the Assyrian Empire. It was a strong empire. It was gone. We have the Medo-Persian Empire, gone. We have the Grecian Empire, gone. We have the Roman Empire, gone. But the kingdom of God, it remains and it lasts forever. And if you are a follower of Christ, if you put your trust in Christ, you are a kingdom citizen, and your home and your city and your kingdom, it is forever. And there's hope in that. And there's hope in the here and now. So I want to ask you another question. And in some ways we've answered this, you guys, but when we feel this tension and these struggles in life, what does living hope do? When you think about this hope that God gives us, what does it do for you in the moments of tension, in the moments of like these believers were feeling very disconnected?
Go ahead. I'll say perspective. For me, it's been just helping me to lift my eyes off of the circumstances, going to Whole Foods and seeing empty grocery store aisles and shelves, and just lifting my eyes off of what I'm seeing in the moment and onto the eternal things. Like it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so it helps me to be more kingdom focused.
Amen. I think for me, and I shared this a little bit with the group before we started, is just the need for stillness. And I think it helps to bring that, this constant assurance that no matter what happens today, what happens tomorrow, that there is this this constant, steady, living hope that is eternal. And if I will just keep my heart and my mind focused on that, then I find that I can take a deep breath, I can be still, and I can, like you said, focus, keep my eyes, lift my eyes up to the hills from where my help comes from. Mm-hmm. And that it sort of allows me to be able to do that in difficult times.
Good. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life," I shared this in our Life and Faith newsletter this week, For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are anchored to him. We are secure in him. We are protected by God. We're protected by God. So we're protected by God. And then we see in this passage, we're also guarded through faith. Look what it says in verse 5. Peter's referring to those who've been born again into this living hope, and he says this: by God's power, they are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last days. And I like how he puts this: by God's power, we are guarded through faith. And so do you see this cooperation here? There's a cooperation. There's God's power, right? And then there's our faith. And God's power and our faith cooperate together. If it's just God's power and we're not involved, I mean, what happens, right? We get very disconnected from God. We start relying on ourselves, as Chad was talking about earlier. We start to get caught up in worry and those kinds of things. But when we blend these two, when we meet God and his power with our faith, great things happen. So let's talk about that, let's talk about God's power and cooperating. What in your own life?
May I share with you Job chapter 26, 7 through 14? And it talks about the power of God and how we cannot even comprehend how powerful he is. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at the situation we're in now, having faith in a God like that, and this one true God and seeing how powerful he is, he has total control of what's going on right now. So as long as our faith is placed in him, we can make it through this. And we have the hope in knowing that we're going to go through this, and we're going to come through stronger than ever if we allow our faith to be strengthened through this time.
Yeah, if you think about it, we all have faith in something, right? And so you're going to put your faith in something. The atheist puts their faith in their intellect and just their own abilities. Some people put their faith in maybe their skill or other people, we all direct our faith somewhere. And so everyone has faith. And so here's the question: where is your faith? And is it anchored? Is your faith anchored somewhere? Is it anchored in Christ? That's the big question. Because sooner or later, the hurricane's going to come, right? And if you're not anchored somewhere, you're going to be tossed back and forth. You're going to be, your ship's going to be wrecked, right? If you're not anchored. And so when the storms of life come or when the coronavirus comes, if you're not anchored somewhere, you're going to be left to your own devices trying to figure these things out. And I think this is why this is so timely, this message from Peter and the encouragement that he gives. Look, we are anchored to a living hope. We are anchored to an inheritance in heaven. So look at verses 8 and 9. We're still talking about faith here. Yeah.
I think one of the things that I have found in my life that I've done that I don't need to do is I sometimes will anchor myself to God, but I have restrictions on say, okay, God, I'll do this if you do that kind of thing. And we need to be openly and completely anchored to him with no restrictions that I've placed upon myself or placed upon God in particular. Yeah. That's a sad thing, but it's a reality of what I've done. It's like, I'll do this, Lord, if you do that kind of thing. And that's not truly being anchored to him. Being anchored to him means no matter what the situation is, we're going to go forward with what God's plan is and not trying to change or say, okay, we'll do this, but we won't do that kind of thing.
That's good. Yeah, so as we're talking about this faith, I like what he says a little bit later on in this passage in verse 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. He's talking to believers, and he's reminding them, you have not, maybe you haven't laid eyes on God, right? But you love him. You have this faith, and you're loving him, and you're following him. And he says, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So you don't have to see him. You have faith in him, and you believe in him, and you love him. Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, okay? And Scripture says, or 2 Corinthians says, we walk by faith and not by sight, because sometimes, you know, the things that we see can really rock our world. I love that song you do, Mike, Waymaker. Mm-hmm. And he says, even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. And I love that. So what's the dangers of living by sight? You've never experienced that, right? Falling into the dangers of living by what you see. What's the dangers of that?
I think making our own decisions that may or may not be in line with what God has for us. I know for myself, when I live by sight, I am relying on only the things that I can see, and it's kind of like what you were talking about, the misplaced trust. When our trust is in the wrong things, like financial security or a job or things like that, it's easy to be shaken when our sight is causing us to see things that we don't really know what the future holds.
So we're protected by God. We're learning this, and we're guarded by faith. Our faith guards us. We're cooperating with him, his power. We have this faith, and then we're also tested through trials. Peter probably remembers when his own faith had failed. We talked about that at the beginning, and so he seems to really know how to relate to grief and he knows how to relate to this grief that's caused by problems and trials. Look what he says here in verse 6. He says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. See, he knows and he's relating to them in their distress and in their difficulty. But he calls this a test in verse 7. And I mean, when we are grieving through the problems of life, that's when our faith really gets threatened, and our faith gets tested. I had someone from our food ministry tell me, and this was just a few weeks ago. They said, I'm a Christian, but I really don't want to hear about trusting God right now. Mm-hmm. And think about that. I think all of us have been in places like that where we're struggling and we don't want to hear, we don't want someone to come and say, oh, look, put your faith and your trust in the Lord right now. Sometimes we get offended by that when we're in the middle of this struggle and this grief. Anybody relate to that?
Absolutely.
In James chapter 1, 2 and 3, we shared this last week. He says almost the same thing Peter's saying, and he's actually addressing the same people that are removed from the city and on the outskirts of the city. And James says this, count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Faith will be tested. It's just going to happen. And what does a test do in the school? If you're taking a test, you're getting a certification, or if you're taking a test in school, what does it do? Well, it shows you where you are, right? It shows you what you know and what you don't know. it kind of helps you to realize what you have learned so far. And we are going to be tested. And I think right now, during this time of this virus, lots and lots of people are being tested. But here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Mike referred to this a little earlier. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He calls these struggles and trials of life light momentary afflictions. And listen, your faith is going to be tested. My faith is going to be tested. And that's exactly why your faith in Christ must be anchored somewhere.
Jay. You know, in regards to the trials that we have, my wife shared a couple years ago when we was going through a difficult time in our life, that why don't we look for God in those moments of trial? You know, there are times in our life when we can look back and we can see how God was working. He worked this out, he worked that out. And so it's sometimes easier to look back and see God. But during this time of trial that we're all facing, and we're all facing one very similar, let's look for God now in the trial and see what he has for us, what we can learn, and how we can grow closer to him to be more godly Christians, to be more godly men and women.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen. So Peter tells them, look, if you've trusted Christ, this is a test, and you got to pass this test. And then he reminds them, you're protected by God, you're guarded through faith, and yes, you're going to go through some trials and tests. It's just part of living here on this troubled earth. You know, as we wrap this up, I was thinking earlier about some that might be out there that have not trusted or put their faith in Christ. And I'll tell you, maybe God is getting your attention. Maybe God's getting your attention. And maybe it's time to take this seriously. You know, I want you to remember this. God put you here for a reason. He's the one that created you. He knows everything about you. He put you here for a reason. He's equipped you for the things and the plans that he has for you, and he has a destiny for you, that when this life is over here, that you'll spend the rest of your life with him. And so what I want to do is encourage anyone out there that has never put their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to just hear me out, all right? The first thing that you need to do when it comes to knowing Christ, and I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about a dead religion. I'm talking about a life-giving relationship with Jesus, all right? Well, first, you have to deal with your sin. And all of us up here today, we have dealt with our sin. That means we have to confront sin. Sin is an attitude that says, I'm the boss of me. This is my life. I can do with it whatever I want. And sin is an action, and it's an action like pride or gossip or lying or stealing. And so we have to deal with that first and say, look, Lord, I am done with me, and I'm done with this life. I realize that I'm a sinner, and I'm separated from you. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's very best, God's glory. And then the next part is you have to believe in the person and works of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, that means that you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died a sinner's death. He died the death that you were supposed to have. You were supposed to die on that cross. He took your cross. He took your death. And then on the third day, he rose to give you new life. All right, believing in the person and works of Jesus. The next thing is to trust him, okay? This is not a religion that we wear on a chain with a cross. It is not a religion that we just put on like a coat. This is a relationship. It is a knowing God personally and intimately. And so what it means to trust him is when you say, I trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is Lord. He's the new boss, okay? Sin is when you say, I'm the boss. Well, now he's the new boss. You're no longer king of your life. He's the king. And then he's also Savior. He's the one that rescues you from sin. And then the final thing that you're going to have to do if you want to have a relationship with Jesus is receive his forgiveness. And what happens when you receive his forgiveness, the Bible says that now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can be in Christ Jesus today by just voicing this simple prayer. Why don't you pray with me? Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need your grace. I identify sin in my life, and I bring this sin to you, Lord. I no longer want to be the boss of my life. I don't want sin to control me any longer. I surrender this to you. I confess it to you. I repent and turn away from it. And Lord, I believe in the person and works of Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And so today I put my trust in Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And today, Father, I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I pray that you will email me. Okay, this week, you can email me at scott@bearcreek.cc, scott@bearcreek.cc. I'd love to hear from you and talk to you some more in these beginning stages of this faith, okay? So in just a minute, Mike is going to lead us in a closing song. And I want to open and see, is there anything else anybody else wants to share before we close out, okay? Well, we hope that you'll continue to join us on Sundays at 11 o'clock. This coming Wednesday, I will be doing a Wednesday Word of Encouragement. It's about a five-minute video on our website. I know that Chad and Lisa are going to be doing just times of encouraging the youth and the children, so stay tuned for that. Stay tuned to that. But if you need to hear any more information about some of the things that we're doing, log on to our website at bearcreek.cc. And then finally, let me mention this. Just as we're all sort of struggling, I see just some things ahead for the church. And I want to just keep mentioning and asking you to be sensitive to your stewardship. Giving to God's work is an act of worship for every believer. And so God loves a cheerful giver. And so we just ask that you be sensitive to that as Bear Creek members. Again, just log on to our website. You can give securely and safely at bearcreek.cc.
One thing to go back to our Wednesday meeting. Parents, I have sent most all of the youth some type of text asking to join a group meeting. Please encourage them to do that, because what I would actually like to do this week, besides having the video, is actually have some type of Zoom meeting with my youth. So if you can, encourage them to download the group meeting and to be watching for updates there. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. Also, before Mike plays his song to close, food ministry this week, Thursday at 6 p.m., it's Thursday the 26th, we are anticipating a large showing. We're going to have a very safe way of doing it. People are going to come through in their cars. They're going to stay in their cars, so we're not going to really have much interaction with people. But we do need help with getting food bags prepared that day, and so we're meeting at 5 o'clock this week. Again, we're anticipating a big turnout, so if you can come and help, if you feel safe and comfortable doing that, please come and be a part of it. We are thankful that you joined us today. Let's close out in a time of worship.
Yeah, what a great time together, and we've been talking about God being our anchor. The Bible talks about Jesus being the cornerstone, and so our hope is built on him. So I want to sing about that this morning. Christ alone is our cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less. salvation is secure and everything that we have is given by our great God. It's our breath, it's in your lungs.